All right, let's read from chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, broadcast for the satellite program. I thought I was kind of caught up with them. Wouldn't have to make any until tonight, but we had to make a couple. And tonight what we're seeing will probably go on the air, radio and TV. Chuck was telling me today, he calls him his little brother out in California. He said his little brother had been watching the satellite program out in the areas of Los Angeles. And we're also told today that Sister Joni Gills called in or wrote in something from Alabama and said that she had watched the satellite program also. And they talked like they enjoyed it. You pray for us, pray that God will help us, because we still, we're in the process of turning over. I believe I told Sister Betty yesterday, within the next few weeks, we have to present about $100,000 or the equivalents thereof. And there's no way to get around it if we're to do what we're going to do. And to get $100,000, you know, all you need is a gold mine or something, but since we got God, we got something better than a gold mine, and He's given it to us. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, let's read together. It says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I like that, don't you? Let's read that again. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You ever had any visions or revelations? I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, if you'll notice this, Paul spoke on one occasion of the ministry being like the offscouring of the earth. Always something happening to the ministry, all the ministers, always something happening. He said, while the church abounds and while it feels good and it goes on and it has the blessings of life, he spoke of the minister as being cast down and killed all the day long and just counted as the offscouring and people mocking him and all these kind of things. And here he says, because he had learned from God that his grace was sufficient, and because he had learned that the glory of God would rest upon him if he was partakers of infirmities, of reproaches, of necessities, being persecuted in distresses for Christ's sake. He learned that if this was so, then the glory of God would rest upon him and he would be strong in the knowledge of God, the visions of God, the revelation of God, and the power of God. So then he said, therefore, I take pleasure when I have infirmities, And he said, I take pleasure when I'm reproached and when I'm in distress, when I am in need as to those things necessitated to life, and when I am persecuted, I take pleasure in this. Whereas that's a big statement, you know, you don't find too many people that can tell you that they take pleasure in such things. I've preached a lot of times and I've expounded, pointed out to you that the Bible teaches that we should equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. And here in Corinthians, as Paul speaks to us, this is the thing that he is telling us, that we should have a mind to suffer. For prophets are not found in kings' palaces. You know, that was one reason that David was driven out as he was into the wilds and spent his life in wilderness wandering like Elijah and the others, because David was a prophet. And though he was given a king's palace, he didn't get to spend much time in the king's palace. He was always out on the battlefield fighting, there on the front line, leading Israel to victory after victory, having to utilize his ability in God in a continual thing and having to use his faith all the time. It's like I told my wife the other day, I said, Betty, I said, every day is a challenge to me. Everything that I do is a challenge to me, and it seems like Satan is always as to the aggressor, and he's always attacking, he's always hindering. Paul said, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. And it looks like that Satan is always a hindrance. And we have to continually contend with this thing, and we have to continually believe in God, taking the shield of faith, that we might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So then we find ourselves always fighting for the cause of God. Always there is a challenge. It challenges our faith. And it looks like in the deepest depths of despair, at the time when we need something to help us the most. Right at the time when just to get one helping hand would be such a tremendous thrill and would be so much strength to us. All of a sudden it appears that at that very moment that those that could help will not help. They'll freeze up on us and then they'll leave us. That happens because of the life of Christ within us. It was when Jesus was in his deepest place of distress, or the deepest moments of the crisis of his life, in the garden where he sweated blood. It was there as he mourned before the heavenly Father, saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, what you will. The Bible said, doing always the things that please the heavenly Father. Here in the garden, when he prayed until the sweat became as great drops of blood, he looked for a little consolation, and when he would go back to his disciples, he would find them hard and fast asleep. And during the time when he needed someone to stand with him, even though Peter and the others said, we'll never forsake you, yet at that very moment when just one standing with him would have been such a great, wonderful inspiration, the Bible said they all fled and forsook him. And Peter, that made his boast, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. Yet when it came right down to it, as Jesus told Peter, he denied. He denied even knowing the Christ. And it looks like that this is always the way with us, that there is a crisis at hand all the time. In my life, I never get a day without a crisis. There's always some kind of crisis. Satan has tried to walk over my children, walk over my wife or my married life. He has tried to walk over my relatives as to mother and dad before they departed, my brothers and sisters. He has tried to walk over the children of God that's tried to follow my ministry to wage war against them and cause them problems like he has not in many other ministries and many other lives. But nevertheless, I've continued on by faith, and by faith, even tonight, we are the victor. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in God. Taking the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So then the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Go in faith. When you want to do something, go in faith. It'll work. Someone would say, I'm not good enough. That's true, you're not. Let's confess it, you're not. And not only that, there's no need to wait till tomorrow, because there's not going to come a time or a day when you're going to be good enough. But by His stripes we are healed. He's good enough, so we receive our healing. It's by the works of Calvary that He has washed away my sins by His blood and perfected me forever. And He has sanctified, glorified the church. So then by His righteousness, by faith in God, then we're good enough. So then if we're good enough, let's don't wait. Don't wait. Let's go do what we want to do. Let's go by faith. You know, the beauty of Jesus, the Bible said that He went into the wilderness. Wasn't about 30 years old. Went into the wilderness, and there He conquered the devil. The devil harassed His mind, and the devil fought against Him. For numbers of days, Satan would come and say, do this or do that, or I'll give you this if you'll worship me. And just continually, he was harassing the mind of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord stayed right there. He prayed, He fasted, He called on God. He stayed away by Himself in the wilderness. He never did yield up. His sovereignty in the Heavenly Father, He never did yield it up to Satan. And when He finally finished, the devil fled from Him. And the Bible says that He returned in the power of the Spirit. See, when He returned, He'd already conquered the devil. There's one thing that you can do, and the devil is conquered. You don't have to go to a great length of doing something to conquer the devil. All you have to do is conquer the devil in your life, just in your life. When you conquer the devil in your life, then you have power over all flesh. Because as to your life, all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And once you conquer the devil as to your life, then you can just walk up to another person and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So then when Jesus returned, He returned in the power of the Spirit. And His fame spread abroad everywhere. People begin to talk about Jesus throughout the whole countryside. And so then Jesus, when He would meet a devil that had a human body, He would speak to that devil and He would say, get thee hence, Satan. And the devil would leave, and the people would marvel. And they say, why, this man's word is with power. Never a man spake like this man. For the word that he speaks is with power for the unclean spirits. They do obey him. But he had conquered the devil. See, the devil didn't have any part in him. He said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me. So then when you conquer the devil in your life, you've got him conquered in every life. See, it's so wonderful to conquer the devil. And you can come to the place to where you can walk in God like the vision I saw when this wonderful Christ entered into me and something said, say what you will. Be careful what you say, that is, because whatever you say will happen. It's like I was praying the other night. My Gracie is over in the Bahamas. She's talking about getting married. Still a young girl, you know. And she's met some fellow over there that she says she's in love with, so they're talking about getting married. And she's never been in a hurricane. She's been in a lot of tornadoes and different things like that, or, you know, close by. But she's never been in a hurricane. You know, a tornado comes spinning in, it spins out. But when a hurricane comes, it's a little bit different. So then, cyclones and hurricanes are different altogether. So then, they reported that the hurricane was coming into the islands. And, of course, Gracie, when she got in contact with mother and daddy, she said, I want you to pray, because she knew she wasn't living like she should so she could use her faith. So she wanted us to pray. And of course we did pray. I was praying anyway. I was praying that the hurricane would be held down and it not hurt anybody as it hit the island, because there's a lot of people I know there, people that love the Lord. And people in general around the world, you don't want to see anything happen to them anyway. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, first of all, God, I'd love to be over there with my daughter. Even in the hurricane, I'd love to be there with my daughter. And I knew I couldn't leave the gospel. I know I have to stay here with the gospel. And I said, I would that you would turn that hurricane. I want you to turn it, because I have prayed numbers of times and God has controlled hurricanes, cyclones, and different things. And I have prayed each time it would go to strike inland and stop it. Each time until it completely went out. And days of calling on the Lord. So I said, Lord, I want you to turn it, because it was headed that way to hit the island full blast. A lot of times we say, well, you can evacuate. But on a little island, how in the world are you going to evacuate? And even if you could get off, as to planes and boats and whatever, most of the time those poor people wouldn't have any money, some of them. So I prayed and I said, Lord, don't let it go there and begin to just destroy the people. And then there's Christian people in there, and though I know that they've not lived like they ought to live, but I still ask of you, Lord, do something about it and turn that hurricane. And so then the Lord heard my prayer. I said I wished that I was over there. And all of a sudden in a vision, I went into a vision, and there I was standing over there. I was standing there, and I said, Dear God, I said, You've transported me all the way from my home over here to the Bahamas. I said, and here I stand on the island and I'm in the rain. And I looked around, it was raining, and sure enough, it has been raining over there. That is kind of a moderation of rain. I said, I'm standing here in the rain. And I looked, and there was the house, of course, where Gracie was. And I went around to the door and I went in. And then when I went in, the hurricane hit. And in the vision, the hurricane hit and it began to just it was taking the house apart. And the flooring began to pull away from the joists way up like that. And so I fell down on the floor and others fell down on the floor. And we was trying to hold the floor down. And as we did, the floor began to go back down to its proper place. And then all of a sudden, the hurricane was over. Which no doubt indicated us praying over here, laying on our faces, or asking God to do something, you know. And indicates, no doubt, our spirit being over there with Gracie to the extent that she's going to believe that we're praying. And because we're praying, that God's going to do something about it. So, sure enough, I got the report today. They said the hurricane had turned. Said it had turned, and the only thing that would hit the island would just kind of brush it a little bit. And the only thing is it turned toward Georgia, so we better start praying again. You want to pray? Let's give the Lord a hand because of what He did. He did that for the Bahamas, so the Bohemians, the Georgians better get down to business and start praying. All right, so the Lord is good and He'll take care of us. He'll work with us. He'll help us if we believe. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus said, ask what you will. It doesn't matter what you ask. I'll give it to you if you'll ask and don't doubt. And that's why Paul said, I doubtless shall come to visions and to revelations. I doubtless shall do this. He said, speaking of a third heaven, you know, a lot of people, they don't know there is a third heaven. Some of them don't even know there's a first heaven the way they live. You know, you'd think that they didn't. But anyway, this is the third heaven. And Paul said, such a one as I knew, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. But said he was caught up into the third heaven, up into paradise. And said there he saw things that it wasn't permissible for human beings to talk about or for him to utter. So then, knowing that God is so real, He does phenomenal things. I was just talking to Brother Beretta just yesterday, and a phenomenal thing took place with Brother Beretta as he questioned in his mind as to what God wanted or whether a certain thing was the will of God. And God has brought it down so perfect that there was no way that he could doubt it. Laid it right out before him. And see, this is the way it is. When we want to be heard of God, and when we want God to hear us, God will hear us if we pray. You know, the one problem with Israel was, they fasted, they prayed, but God said, you don't have the right attitude. As I told some of the men's meeting the other night, like a great brother in Christ one time said, the right attitude toward anything of God will bring it to pass. See, and a lot of people don't have the right attitude. So that Israel didn't have the right attitude. Going about to establish their own righteousness, the Bible says that they stumble at the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus. See, and they don't have the right attitude, a lot of people. That's why things don't come to pass when they ask for those things. You must have the right attitude. When you go to God and ask for something, you must have the right attitude. Israel prayed. And Israel fasted, long fasting and long praying. But when they came to God and they said, wherefore have we fasted? And you've not taken notice to it. Said, we prayed. You've not paid any attention to it. But the Lord said unto them, said, that's true. You have fasted and you have prayed. but you haven't fasted and prayed the way you do this day when he was communicating with them, as to make your voice to be heard on high. See, when God didn't answer their fasting and prayer, they got desperate. And then they began to call on God. He said, you fast to smite with the fist of wickedness. That is to make a show of things, or to see what you can obtain as to worldly goods. He said, that's not the way of fasting, and that's not the fast that I've chosen. For a man to bow down his head like a bulrush, to get down in sackcloth and ashes. But this is the fast, he said, I've chosen, and that is that you should loose the bands of wickedness, and that you should undo the heavy burden, and that you should take the naked into your home, and the hungry into your home, and that you should feed the poor, the needy, clothe the naked. He said, this is the fast that I've chosen. This is what pleases me. So then, when we have the right attitude toward God and the right attitude toward the needy, and we're willing to go all over the world with our substance, with our prayers, with our efforts, whatever we can do, go out all over the world to minister to the needy, then it pleases God. Then if we fast as to abstinence, that is to say, to abstain from food, if we fast and then pray, then we'll get the job done. See, this is what I fast for. This is what I pray for, that I can make God hear me. And then I say to him, Father, I want to do thy will always. Thy will be done. And I say, Father, give me the heathens for mine inheritance. And so he gives me the heathens for mine inheritance. And by preaching, by sending out the word, printed page, by television, radio, whatever it might be, God, let's thousands and sometimes tens of thousands of people hear my voice, and people are converted to God. And sometimes we have altar calls where they just press in almost to where the blood comes. As a matter of fact, in distribution of literature in certain heathen countries, we've known it to happen that they pressed till the blood came. So this is what we want to do. See, I want those visions. I want those revelations. I pray, God, give me the spirit of revelation, that I might be able to do something for you, that I might have power over the devil. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, there's no need to ask for power over the devil. You're not going to get that. But the Bible says that God has given us power over all the powers of the enemy. Did you know the powers of the enemy is sickness? Did you know that the powers of the enemy is distress, perplexity, bewilderment? Did you know that the enemy is a thief and a robber to take away your children and the life of your children and the virtues of your life and of your home? Did you know that the enemy comes to rob, to kill, to destroy? But Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life, and I come that you may have life and that more abundance. I would say, Brother Taylor, you sent me something through the mail. And my, it was something I needed. And Brother Taylor, you sent me an abundance of it. So then the abundant life of God filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. So then when we have faith in God, we can have all that we want. Think about that. But when the devil comes, he steals all of this. He takes all of this. He's a thief. He's a robber. But Jesus is the Prince of Life. And because of that, he's given me all things that pertain unto life. And I have this wonderful, wonderful thing down within my heart that's called faith. And that faith gives me whatever I want. A lot of times I say this in preaching. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, going to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in their behalf. Because if you're upright in heart, then you have faith. And when faith goes out, God is strong in your behalf to do whatever you want. So then he's looking for the upright in heart. And this was another thing that was with David. He had a heart after God's heart. Abraham was the same way. And many other great men like Elijah and Moses, they had a heart as God's heart. And today that's what God wants of you and I. The Bible said the first and great commandment is this: to hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy soul. And the second is namely like unto this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two things hang all the law and the prophets. So then when we do those two things as to please God always, then John said, hereby we assure our heart, then comes the confidence that God heareth us. And we know that if God hears us, then we have the petition that we desire of God. So then he said, you do not pray as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So I want to do the things to please God, and then I know that God hears me. And if I know that God hears me, I know that I have the petition that I desire of God. And the great wonderful things that he saw, the things that he'd done or do in his lifetime, the wonderful things that followed his ministry as Jesus' ministry, these things Jesus said, ye shall do, and greater things because I go to the Father. So then he made it possible that we could have all things that pertain unto life. So then knowing this, we've got all things that pertain unto life, providing that we have faith in God to receive them. But if we don't have faith in God, we don't have them. If we don't have faith in God, we don't have power over all the powers of the enemy. Because the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. He's power over all the powers of the enemy. The Bible said when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you shall receive power. Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And that Spirit that was in the body of Jesus mastered Satan, overcome Satan in the wilderness, and was powerful. And power over all the powers of the enemy. And when you receive the Spirit of Christ, then you have power over all the powers of the enemy. And the Bible said nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then faith in the Word of God as to what God has said about power over all the powers of the enemy, this is what we have to have. And if we have this faith, then the Bible said, taking the shield of faith that it might quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And by faith, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense and reward. But taking that faith in God, then you can have whatever you will. If you decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. Or if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Or if you say anything and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass. Jesus said, say what you will and you can have it. So then this great, wonderful scripture here of this Paul that was the overseer to you and I as the Gentile church, he says that there's times that he encountered infirmities. There's times that he went through distress, that he had equipped himself with a mind to suffer, that he might be more powerful in God. That as to the vain janglings of the world and following after the lust of the flesh and the gullible desires of the things of the flesh as to what Satan gave us, he said it took away from his virtue and it took away from his faith and his strength and his experience. Remember, the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of error, and it tells us that we should not follow after the spirit of the world. Now, when you say the spirit of the world, now someone would say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the spirit of the world? I'm saying that the spirit of the world is Satan. Satan is a spirit. There is a spirit of the world. There is a spirit. The Bible said that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh because he's the god of this world. And that this spirit of the world is the thing that stimulates people toward all of the activities of life as pertaining to the world if it be something contrary to God. So the Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Because it was when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit that the Bible said virtue went out of his body and healed everyone that they brought to him. And when the little woman was healed, Jesus said, I perceive that virtue hath gone out of my body. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, anything that be lovely, anything that be beautiful, that is, as to say of God, he hath made all things beautiful in his time. If anything be lovely, anything be pure, anything be virtuous, he said, then think on these things. So then we should be filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the virtue of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. And not have the desires of the things of this life within your heart. And then you'll do the things that please God. And then you'll have faith. And then when you have faith, things will come to pass when you pray. When you pray and ask God, things will come to pass. The Bible said when you pray, believe when you pray. And believe that the things that you are asking for, that you're going to receive, or that you do receive, or that you have received because of Calvary. We're not under the curse. We're past the curse. We're past Calvary. And we're free from the curse. And we're free from sin, free from sickness, free from death, free from all those things. So then we have power over all of those things through the death of the Lord Jesus. And when we believe, then we get these things. A lot of you pray, but you don't believe. You don't believe. I know in talking to some of you, talk about prayer. And you talk about the things that you ask God for and you can't seem to obtain those things. But you don't believe He's going to give them to you to start with. You know, when you go to pray, you don't really believe that God is going to give you anything. You go to pray and you ask God for something, but you don't believe that God is going to give it to you. But I'll tell you something, if you're going to get anything from God, you're going to have to believe when you pray. Because the goodness is not of you, it's of God. So you're never going to get good enough to get on a basis to where God's going to give you those things. See, and it is all by Christ that the powers of God are given into our hand. So there's no way that you can obtain unto them. Only through faith, if I can believe that God has given me all things that pertain unto life through faith in Christ as to the finished works of the Son of God, then I can have it. I can decree it in my heart, it'll come to pass. So many, many times down through my life, it doesn't matter what I ask God for. If I really get down to business, He gives it to me. Now, a lot of times when I deal with a life, I deal with an individual, I deal with a person, it's a little bit different, because when you deal with an individual and you ask something for the individual's sake, that individual also has to believe. You have to make contact there. So that you can get that. But on, like Paul, the Bible said, he perceived that this man had faith to be healed. He turned and spoke to him in the name of the Lord. He was healed. Now, but when it comes to something that I want, something that pertains to life, something that nobody else is involved in, I just have to believe God for it. Whatever I want, I get. Whatever I ask Him for, He gives it to me. I decree it in my heart, and thus it comes to pass. Let's give the Lord. It works 100%. It works. And I really enjoy serving God. I enjoy doing the things that please God just so that I can put my faith to the test. And every day with me, as I said at the beginning of our message here, is a great challenge. But the thing is, when all men forsake you and you have your back to the wall and you just, it's impossible for you to do what you want to do or what you're going to do, just go on and do it anyway. You know, it's like I tell my wife, I say, Betty will come to me and she'll say, I don't know what we're going to do. She says, there's somebody over here, they want money. And somebody over here wanting money. And somebody over here wanting money. And you know, this wants 100, and this wants 200, and this wants 500, and this wants 2,000, this wants 10,000, this wants 50,000, this wants 100,000. I said, well, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're going to do it anyway. Hallelujah. I said, we don't do it. We don't have it, but we're going to do it anyway. Going to do it anyway. And she'll say, well, what about this person in town? They've got a hard way to go, and they say they've got to have some money. And Sister Linda said, we just don't have it. We haven't got it. What will we do? I said, just do it anyway. Praise God. Give it to them. And always and always and always it works out, and they give it to them. Brother Taylor, the same way. Brother Taylor will come, and I say, well, we ain't got it, Brother Taylor. Have you got it? He says, no. I said, well, go get it anyway. So he goes and gets it. That's faith. That's why that I made the statement just a few minutes ago. Within a few days here, different things coming together. I have to have around $100,000. Do I have it? No. Have you got it by faith? Yes. Will you then do what you have to do? Of course I will. Hallelujah. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. He didn't say whether it was a dime or a dollar or $10,000. He just said the need. And sometimes I have big needs. And of course, He's got a big treasure chest. And He just supplies all of my needs. So then there's no need to worry about it. And don't doubt. Jesus said, don't doubt. Whatever you want, don't doubt. Believe. And when you have a little problem, take pleasure in it. You know, you say to the Lord, Lord, let me know Thee in the fellowship of Thy suffering, that I might be made conformable unto Thy death, that I may know Thee in the power of Thy resurrection. And sometimes when infirmities hit and problems hit, you say, Lord, give me the patience of Job. And after a while, the boils come. And the Lord said, we're starting the process. Say, oh my God, Lord, no. Just let Job keep that patience, you know. We'll do something altogether different. But nevertheless, you ask God to process you and you ask God to help you. And then you say, Lord, let me feel the infirmities of my Heavenly Father. Let me feel the infirmities that God felt through the body and the sufferings of Jesus. Father, give me a mind to suffer. and let me feel these infirmities. And sure enough, things start happening. You know, and then when the pain comes and the misery comes and the discomfort comes, you know, and it's there about 20 minutes, you've had just about all the suffering you want. And then when God decides to let it stay an hour, you know, you'll say, well, how do you feel now? And you say, well, I think that'll be enough for today. But the thing is, if you really get down to business, and I've had this to come many times, I've had the devil to come and say, well, how do you feel now? The pain and the misery and whatever. What would you like to say to God now? I say to God after a day. I say to God after a week. I say to God after a month. I say to God after a year. I say, Father, it's like I said in the beginning, I want to feel the sufferings of Christ, and I want to be partakers of your infirmities. In spite of my feelings, in spite of whatever, I say, Father, let me feel the sufferings of my Savior, that I might be partakers of His wonderful benefits. Let's give Him a hand. So then God's able to take care of us. And like it was with Paul, Paul went and said, move these things. But when he realized that it was God, when God said, my grace is sufficient, and Paul realized these things was of God to break down the outer man and the sufferings, and that are through the sufferings, that God wanted him to submit to the sufferings. Like Moses went to God and said, I want to go into the promised land. God said, come up here and look at it. Don't let me hear no more about it. Let that be sufficient. See, so God's got programs and plans. Somebody would say, God, how could you be so cruel? Here he gave up all of the glamour and the gold and the prestige of Egypt to get out there in the marshes and to wander around in that wilderness for many, many years and get one chance to go into the land of Canaan where milk and honey was, and you cut him off and take Joshua in. My, you're cruel, Lord, someone would think. But not so. Not so with God. You say, well, how do you then justify it? I justify it by looking at it this way. Moses was too wonderful. Moses was too great. Moses had suffered too much to go over a muddy river to get over there to eat some grapes and eat a little honey. God said, no, not Moses. I'm taking you into glory. I'm taking you into the real Canaan land. I'm taking you up into heaven where you won't ever have any more problems. And of course, over there on the Mount of Transfiguration, there he appears in glory with Jesus. Let's give the Lord another hand. See, it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord that is wrong, is what he's doing. It's we're the ones that are wrong because we misunderstand. We just misconstrue things. If we stop and analyze, evaluate properly, we'll find out all of the ways of God are precious. He said, you say that my ways are unequal. He said, but really, it's not my ways. He said, it's your ways. All right, let's stand together. May the Lord bless you tonight. It's a real pleasure to talk with you. Say a little something to encourage your faith. And the Bible said, exalt each other the more as you see the day approaching. All right, let's sing, I love him. To love him is to keep his commandments. For the love of God is that you keep his commandments. I love him. I love him. Oh. Loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Let's sing this chorus. Amazing grace. Can you sing that with me? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fear relieved. And how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jersey. We'll wear a crown.
We'll wear a crown.
We'll wear a crown.
A shining crown.
We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown.
I'll wear a crown.
We'll wear a crown.
A shiny crown.
We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Let's give him another hand. Let's worship the Lord for just a minute or two in song. Let's sing this little song, "There's Room at the Cross for You." The altars are open. Sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all day. So come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. You love the Lord? To worship the Lord, to love the Lord, to give him our heart, to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. That's the way that we should love Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus, Sister Dale. Oh, tell me his name again. Can you sing that with me? And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred. Sing that with me. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Can you sing it more time? So tell me his name once again, and sing to me that sweet refrain of him came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred. Sing it with me. It's the sweetest I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Let's sing this little chorus, Sister Dale. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, bending low, there was trouble in my soul, looking for a place it would end. But an old time prayer preacher came a-calling one day. Good book, he read a few words. Now I can say
I'm happy for today. I came a little closer to my Lord.
So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten it. Can you sing that again? So I came a little closer, just a little closer. I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten. Come a little, one more time together. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Can we give him another hand? So wonderful. Clap your hands, all you people. Make that joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, give me another key, Sister Dale.
And time shall be no more. No more. Shall we no more? For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land. Then time shall be no more.
Now let me say this to you again. And time, remember, all the way from the garden down to Calvary. And then made an end of time. And Peter says, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And thus time ended and the church ages started. And today we're the children of the resurrection. And time. And the Bible said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world as pertaining to the inner man. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoration, till the time of the redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed as to the inner man unto the day of redemption of the body. And time shall be. So then God says, you're not in the flesh, therefore you cannot fulfill the lust of the desires of the flesh, for He's chosen you out of the flesh. And if you were in the flesh, you could not please God. But in that God has chosen you out of the flesh, He hath hid you with Christ in God, and you're sitting together in those heavenly places. And time, the fullness of times, God has sealed the church. Has sealed the church. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, that with which He hath sealed the church with. Has sealed the church. And God has given to you the mind of Christ, having caught you up into the third heaven. And the body is waiting for the change. But the flesh profiteth nothing. It's dead. It's buried in the lovely name of Jesus. And to you, as the angelic and most spiritual being, you become equal with the angels and cannot die. And you pass from death into life because you cannot sin. And that he that is born of God cannot sin because he is born of God. And the Bible said he keepeth himself as to the inner man, and the evil one touched him not. So then God is justified by faith. And the Bible said the faith by which we're sanctified, not only hath he sanctified us, but the Bible said he hath glorified us. And time. And this he has given us in Christ before the world ever was. And you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now that the time has come, the fullness of time, God hath sent forth the ministry. The Bible said, having given us this in Christ before the world ever was, it was brought to light at Calvary's to the rent veil. When he rent the veil in twain, that is to say, he made within himself twain both Lord and Christ, and separated the Christ from the Lord, or the Spirit from the body. And time, so that he could lay to rest your body by making his body your sinful body. And in that he took away your sins as God smote Jesus. We esteem him smitten of God to do away with the image of sin. And today you're not a living soul anymore. You've passed from death unto life. You are now born to the second man, Adam, and you are a quickening spirit. As potentially speaking as to what God sees in the Thessalonian chains, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So time shall be for you, your creatures of the resurrection. We're coming to the bar mitzvah. As to what Calvary was, we're going to believe, we're going to comprehend. We're going to be schooled into that sevenfold light. Coming to the end of the way now. Coming to the end of the way. That we might be partakers of the divine knowledge in that unto you is revealed from the heavenly places, this heavenly treasure that you have in earthen vessels. You have it in your earthen vessels, even the knowledge that will transformate your mind, transfigure your body, translate your spirit into the wonderful kingdom of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom has been preached. And you pressed your way against the flesh as to the continual warfare against the old mind of Lucifer, as to the carnal mind of death in this world, and the love of the things of the world. You pressed against it until you went into the mind and spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. So then today, we are they that dwell in the kingdom, praying, Father, thy kingdom has come. Thy will now be done in my life and in the earth as it is in heaven. So that we can bring to the throne our wonderful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As the King, the song that we sang the other night, the chief cornerstone, to give Jesus Christ his place on the throne, that he might make everything right. Don't you feel good? Having passed from death into life? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land. Then time, just once again. Run, time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Or the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be. Now that we know that time shall be no more, let's sing this one little chorus as we close tonight. Give me a key, Sister Dale. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Forget morning and night. We're all dressed in spotless white. And I'm ready for the bride. Can you sing that with me? Better be ready for the bridegroom to come. Better be ready for the bridegroom to come. So be it morning, noon, night, we're all before the bridegroom comes. Sing it again. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, you're ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, we'll all dress in spotless white, and we're ready. Sing it again, can you? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white,
and we're ready for the bride.
Sing it one more time. Oh, we're ready. Let's give him a wave offering, can you? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. I believe we ought to sing it one more time. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Can you lift your eyes up and close your eyes with me as we pray? Ready? Are you ready? Just to sing that song, Are You Ready? I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come and dismiss us. And while Brother Taylor's coming to dismiss us, let's consider the Lord. Will you appreciate whatever you contributed tonight toward the success of the Nigerian crusade? And I know that the Lord has taken care of it. So we praise God for that. And while you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed tonight, Brother Taylor's going to come and dismiss you.